Welcome, I'm Holly Kernan in for Rose Aguilar, and this is your call. In 2008, the U.S. government recommitted itself to paying full tuition for veterans to get an education after their service for the first time since the post-World War II GI Bill, which was passed by Congress in 1944. But is that money being well spent? Are veterans getting the education they were promised? Earlier this week, Illinois Senator Dick Durbin said troops should think twice before enrolling in one of the country's largest for-profit university chains as it faces the government-supervised sale of its campuses and charges it preyed on the military. He was referring to Corinthian Colleges, which is being forced by the Department of Education to sell off 85 campuses, according to the Stars and Stripes newspaper. In California, 2 out of every 3 GI Bill dollars goes to for-profit schools. As our guest Aaron Glantz reports, $600 million goes to schools that have graduation rates so low or the high student loan default rates that they don't meet state criteria for aid. And I'm joined here in studio by Aaron Glantz. He's an award-winning investigative reporter covering veterans and domestic military issues for the Center for Investigative Reporting. His latest book is The War Comes Home. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, it's good to be with you.
We're also joined on the phone by David Halperin, who writes for republicreport.org, which is a project of the nonprofit group Essential Information, which exposes corruption and the role of big money in policy decisions. His ebook, Stealing America's Future, How For-Profit Colleges Scam Taxpayers and Ruin Student Lives, is an account of the for-profit college industry. Hi, David. Can you hear me? Do we have David? Okay, we're going to check on David. He will be joined with us by phone momentarily. David, are you there? We'll figure this out. But in the meantime, we always start off the show with kudos to journalists who have done a particularly good job this week. So, Aaron, we're going to start with you. Who do you want to highlight?
Well, you know, it's not like it was the most amazing story I ever read, but in light of what we're discussing today, I really liked this piece that was on the front page of the San Francisco Chronicle yesterday, Below the Fold. They had the stories about both Clinton and Obama being in the Bay Area, and the headline in Carla Marinucci's story was Signs of Donor Fatigue at Obama's Bay Area Fundraisers. It's basically talking about how these rich Silicon Valley people are tired of giving money to politicians. And, you know, in this show, we're going to be talking about the incredible power that the for-profit college industry wields on Capitol Hill and in Sacramento through their campaign donations and lobbying. And it was kind of interesting to read how even the people who are making these donations are getting exhausted by the amount of corrupt practices they have to engage in to get a seat at the table. And they're like, this is ridiculous. We already gave you money 3 times. You're coming back again? What's up with that? So I thought it was very revealing, and I got a lot out of reading it.
How about you, David? Are you here with us now? Do we have David? Are we still having trouble? All right, well, I'm going to pass on the kudos. Let's go to your investigation, straight to your investigation, Aaron. So you found that over the last 5 years, more than $600 million in college assistance for Iraq and Afghanistan veterans has been spent on California schools that are substandard. They are so substandard that they fail to qualify for state financial aid. So can you talk to us about how this is happening and what the scope of it is?
Yeah, I mean, people know the GI Bill. It's one of the most popular programs in American history. After World War II, or actually as World War II was ending, we made a promise to people who served in that war that no matter where they wanted to go to school, we would pay for it.
And it transformed American education.
It transformed America. It built the American middle class. The long boom that we experienced after World War II was propelled in part by the fact that the U.S. government sent 7 million GIs to school. And they could go to Harvard or Yale if they wanted, and we would pay for it. And if they wanted to go to a trade school or community college, we would pay for that too. And after World War II, that promise was diluted. People came home from Vietnam and they were given a small stipend that didn't really pay for college. Same thing with the Persian Gulf War. Same thing when the Iraq and Afghanistan wars started. And as the Iraq and Afghanistan wars continued, politicians and veterans began to say, this is not okay anymore. We need a GI Bill that really pays for school. And so in 2008...
And because a lot of GIs were coming home and into this recession and not able to get work.
Yeah, and also because a lot of people sign up for the military because the recruiter says that they can go to school. And then they come out of the military and they want to use their benefit and they realize they couldn't afford very much. And these guys have been sent to Iraq or Afghanistan three times. They're saying, what gives? I deserve a real education benefit that I can use to go to school. So in 2008, President Bush signed the new post-9/11 GI Bill, which for the first time since World War II made this promise. If you served your country, we will pay for school. The maximum amount was pegged to the highest cost of a public education. So Cal, we'll pay for Cal. You want to go to San Francisco State, we'll pay for that. You want to go to community college, we'll pay for that.
But Stanford's out of the question.
You want to go to Stanford, we will pay Cal money for you to go to Stanford, right? And you and Stanford can figure out the balance. So suddenly this became big, big money. I mean, in California right now, you can get $19,000 a year in tuition assistance through the GI Bill because of this formula. And so turns out the main beneficiaries of this money are not Berkeley and UCLA and Stanford and community colleges. They are for-profit schools that saw a pile of available federal money coming in with no standards, really, very few standards attached to it, and they have jumped on it. And as we reported, the University of Phoenix's campus in San Diego, which has a graduation rate of under 15%, but costs 10 times as much as a community college, has gotten more GI Bill money than any other school in America.
So, Aaron, I want to understand two things. Why are there virtually no restrictions on how this money is spent? And why are vets going to these schools?
Well, why is there no restrictions on how this money can be spent? I think that when Congress passed this law in 2008 and veterans pushed for it, they had no idea this was going to happen. They thought that the main thing was that it be a generous benefit. The veterans should be able to go wherever they wanted. They did not anticipate that the for-profit college industry would see a huge pile of money and think that can be our pile of money and directly and aggressively target veterans to get that money and line their pockets. They did not anticipate that. Now, the law was passed in 2008. It went into effect in 2009. Starting in 2010, people on Capitol Hill and veterans start to notice this problem emerging. And what happens is every time they try to solve this problem, their efforts get quickly stepped on by other lawmakers who, you know, get very generous campaign contributions from these, you know, industries.
And why aren't veterans going to the community colleges, for example, and state institutions in mass numbers instead of these for-profit institutions?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you know, we interviewed the University of Phoenix for this story, their vice president of military affairs. He made exactly this point. Veterans are choosing to go to the University of Phoenix. Nobody is forcing them to go to the University of Phoenix. If they wanted to go to City College of San Francisco, where there have been over 1,000 veterans, by the way, Iraq and Afghanistan veterans use their benefit, or San Francisco State or Berkeley, they could, but they're choosing the University of Phoenix. I think there's a couple of reasons. One is the University of Phoenix, being a for-profit company, is primarily concerned with its bottom line, is very concerned with income, and spends 40% of its money on marketing, recruiting, and profit. So while you're still in the military, you're regularly getting messages that going to the University of Phoenix is a good idea. Same thing for ITD Tech or Corinthian or any of these other chain schools. Then you get out, you're watching the ads on television. They employ recruiters who dial and dial
and over and over. And it's easier to get in, right?
Again. Well, I mean, it's like a community college. It's open enrollment. Also, I mean, they have some like real advantages. You can start pretty much whenever you want. You don't need to wait until the beginning of the next semester, for example. But that's why I think the question is really, you know, for us as taxpayers, We found that there was over $600 million in GI Bill money spent here on California on schools with graduation rates so low or student loan default rates so high that they failed the state's basic test for financial aid here in California. And it's a kind of a taxpayer protection issue. Is that a good investment for us? Should we be paying for an associate's degree at the University of Phoenix when it costs nearly 10 times what a community college would charge? Are we, the taxpayers, getting a good deal? And so that's the question.
And are these vets getting what they're paying for?
And
marketable are those degrees?
Well, I would say, are those veterans getting what we're paying for, mm-hmm. right? Because this is the unique thing, right? We've all heard the story about the person who went to college at the University of Phoenix or some other for-profit school on loans, and now they can't pay them back because they can't get a job, right? This is different. We, the taxpayers, are paying for these veterans to go to school. So we are the people who are losing out on the money. They're losing out on the time. And they're only going to get this opportunity once, so they're potentially losing out on a great opportunity, but it's our money.
Aaron Glantz is an award-winning investigative reporter covering veterans and domestic military issues for the Center for Investigative Reporting. His latest book is The War Comes Home. It's our Friday Media Roundtable. On Your Call, I'm Holly Kernan. I'll invite listeners to join us in just a moment. But tell us about, okay, so you've mentioned the University of Phoenix, which is either the largest or one of the largest of these four.
I've been discussing it so extensively because it's the largest recipient of GI Bill funding in America. It's received nearly $1 billion in GI Bill money nationally. And the San Diego campus, which we highlight in our report, has received more money than the entire University of California system. All 10 campuses and all the extension programs of UC together, all added up, do not account for as much taxpayer money through the GI Bill as one small University of Phoenix campus in San Diego with a graduation rate under 15%.
Well, can you tell us about some of the other for-profit schools that...
Absolutely. Bridgepoint. Bridgepoint Education is a company based in San Diego. It runs Ashford University, which is an online college. Ashford has received over $100 million in GI Bill funding since 2009. It recently settled a consumer protection lawsuit with the state of Iowa for predatory marketing to veterans. They're going to pay consumers in Iowa $7 million. I spoke with one of the veterans who says he was defrauded. He's a 20-year Navy veteran. He came home. He wanted to be a teacher.
Is David Pace?
No, this is another gentleman by the name of Patrick Keene. He went to Ashford University online. He thought he was going to be able to become a teacher. 6 months before he's going to graduate from his bachelor's degree, he finds out, guess what? No school will let him be a student teacher with a degree from Ashford. It's worthless. So now, having spent our money to get a worthless degree...
And
a couple of years of his life, he's back in school again. Now he's paying for it. He's getting a master's degree. And then after that, he's still going to have to go and get a teaching credential. And so, you know, he says, as far as I'm concerned, Ashford committed fraud. Now, when we put this to Bridgepoint Education, they said, he denies this, but I think that the company's probably right here. They said he signed a fine print disclaimer when he enrolled it was kind of a buyer beware. We do not guarantee that you can teach with this education degree. But we need to ask ourselves, you know, should we as Americans be comfortable spending our money to send someone to school for teaching if they can't teach afterwards? And so this Ashford University, after the University of Phoenix, it's the number two recipient of GI Bill funds in America. And, you know, you mentioned in your opening about how Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois is saying people should not enroll in Corinthian colleges because these schools are closing down all across the country. Now, Corinthian owns Heald College, Everett College, and Wyotech. The campus is all over the Bay Area. These schools have educated 12,000 Iraq and Afghanistan veterans over the last 5 years with our money. They have been sued by Kamala Harris, our attorney general, for targeting veterans for intentional misrepresentation to students, and she obtained these documents as part of her suit. They're internal targeting recruiting documents that say that Corinthians' target population are potential students who are isolated, impatient individuals with low self-esteem, who have few people in their lives who care about them, and who are stuck.
They put this in writing
in their own internal documents, and they're looking for potential students to go to school with our money who are, quote, unable to see and plan for the future. And their schools across the country have received $184 million through the GI Bill over the last 5 years.
Say that number again,
$184 million.
That's Aaron Glantz. He's an award-winning investigative reporter covering veterans and domestic military issues for the Center for Investigative Reporting. His latest book is The War Comes Home. And we're talking about the for-profit education industry and the billions of taxpayer money that it rakes in. And we're also going to be joined in just a moment by David Halperin. But I want to invite our listeners to join our conversation. The number is 866-798-TALK. If you've ever attended one of these for-profit colleges in California or anywhere else in the country, tell us what your experience was like. And if you had a positive experience, we want to hear from you as well. And if you're a veteran, have you tried to obtain a degree or further your education through one of these for-profit institutions? Do you feel like your GI Bill dollars have been well spent? And should there be more restrictions on how GI Bill money is spent? The number is 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-TALK. 798-8255. You can also send us an email at feedback@yourcallradio.org. I'd also wonder, if you're in HR, how do you look at a degree from the University of Phoenix or WyoTech or Heald's, etc.? 866-798-8255 is our toll-free number. And now I want to welcome David Halperin, who writes for republicreport.org and covers the for-profit college industry. Hi, David.
Hi, I'm glad to be on the show.
We're glad to finally have you.
I got to listen to a little bit of it as I realized it wasn't that we had a technical problem, but I listened to some of what Aaron was talking about.
Well, that's great. I mean, what Aaron's reporting on seems to be the tip of the iceberg. You write that the for-profit education industry is a $40 billion industry getting 80% of its money from the government. How does Aaron's investigation looking at the GI Bill money fit into the bigger picture of for-profit college education?
The bigger picture is an industry that is getting about 80-90% of its money from taxpayers. And there are some good schools, and there are some good teachers even at bad schools. But the basic business model of the big schools is they charge too much money. They admit a lot of students that they know will not be able to succeed in their program. And the quality of the programs are mixed to poor. So the result is that many, many students sign up for programs that will leave them with overwhelming debt. They won't get the jobs they want. Even if they do get the jobs they thought they were going to get, the cost of the school is so much that they can't pay down their loans, so their financial futures are ruined. It's a huge burden on their own lives, and it's a huge drain on our economy and on our federal spending.
And you also write about the Association of Private Sector Colleges and Universities, the APSCU, and you really call them out. You say the APSCU has engaged in a pattern of harboring companies that engage in systemic fraud and abuse of their students.
These are the way that schools get students to come in to the bad proposition I just mentioned to you is by lying to them, by deceiving them about graduation rates and starting salaries and things like that. And then the worst part of this fraud is that after these schools got caught, after there was awareness in the last 5 years basically, that these schools were systematically abusing students, they just hired the green book of celebrities and lobbyists to vouch for them. With enough money, they can have Trent Lott, they can have Dick Gephardt, they can have Newt Gingrich, they can have Bob Kerry, they can have Mark Morial, Democrats and Republicans, the pillars of the establishment, saying what a wonderful sector they are. And Bill Gates this week also, how wonderful they are and how much they help students. And so,
there must be some that are doing a good job.
There are some but not the big publicly traded ones. And even at these schools, even at Corinthian colleges and at the EDMC schools, there are wonderful teachers, people who got into education because they care about students. But the problem is that they are given fewer and fewer resources. More and more money has been going to these boiler room recruiting operations and not to teaching. Much more money is spent on marketing and recruiting than is spent on education at most of these schools. And many students, as I said, are accepted who really cannot keep up with the programs that they're in. So you have the students who can potentially succeed being held back, in a sense, by students who are not in the right program for them. And all of that leads to is many, many bad outcomes for students. But amazingly, in Washington, this debate should have been over long ago, and we should have started to impose a tough rule that basically said, if your students are in poverty after they go to your program, then your program shouldn't keep getting federal money. But that is what their lobbyists have successfully fought against for the last 5 years.
And we're having trouble with the phone, so I can't go to callers yet, but we got an email. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org or post comments at yourcallradio.org. And one listener wrote, veterans risk their lives and well-being to earn educational benefits. While it's important to protect all consumers against fraud, it is not our money. The veterans earned it as surely as they earned their paychecks. Aaron, I think that's for you.
Yeah, I mean, it is both... It is what the veterans earned through their service, and it is a promise that we made to them that if they serve their country, then they could go to school and better their lives. That is the promise of the GI Bill. The question the story raises is whether or not we, the taxpayers, should put a standard on the schools to make sure that the investment that we, through our tax dollars, put forward results in veterans actually succeeding in their lives and actually attaining their hopes and dreams. And that's why when we did our story, we didn't just ask what is the percentage going to for-profit schools. And you mentioned the percentage here in California, two-thirds of all GI Bill dollars are going to for-profit schools. We also asked an additional question, which is, are these for-profit schools where we're spending our money any good? And we found that there were nearly 300 schools that failed the basic standards that the state of California has set for financial aid.
300 schools here in
California,
alone.
And 100 of them, 121 of them, didn't even have any academic accreditation at all. I mean, we've been talking about the University of Phoenix, which is accredited, but it's been put on notice from its accrediting agency because it doesn't support, quote, student learning and effective teaching. It's gotten the most money. But, you know, schools, massage schools, auto repair academies, sexology schools with no academic accreditation at all, horseshoeing.
Sexology?
Horseshoeing schools. All of these
horseshoeing.
Places.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. So but, you know, and here's the other thing. There are legitimate trade schools, like auto repair. It's a legitimate trade. You can go get a job as, you know, repairing cars. It's a real job. But there are accredited auto repair schools and unaccredited auto repair schools. There are accredited beauty schools, and there are unaccredited beauty schools. We give money to everyone. And the story asks, is this really a good idea?
And the answer seems to be not in many cases. You're listening to Your Call. That's Aaron Glantz, who's a reporter with the Center for Investigative Reporting. David Halperin writes for republicreport.org, and he focuses on the for-profit college industry, which is a $40 billion industry. 80% of that money comes from the federal government. And if you want to join our conversation, we're having a little problem with the phone, so email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org or go to our website and post comments there. I'm Holly Kernan, and you're listening to Your Call. We'll be right back after a short break.
This is Your Call on Local Public Radio, KALW San Francisco. Feel free to join us. Send a question or comment to feedback@yourcallradio.org. Coming up at 11 o'clock from the BBC, it's World Have Your Say. At noon today, the Tavis Smiley Show, and then this afternoon at 1, Latino USA, here on 91.7 FM, KALW San Francisco.
For those of you joining us now, we're talking about the for-profit education industry. I'm Holly Kernan in for Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. We're podcasting our show. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. That's also where you can listen to past shows and find out what's coming up next. On Monday, we'll have a conversation asking, what should the U.S. response be to children massing along our border? And what are conditions like inside of U.S. immigration detainee centers? On Tuesday, we'll talk with Mark Dowie, author of Conservation Refugees, the 100-Year Conflict Between Global Conservation and Native Peoples. Today we're talking about the for-profit college industry and why so much money from the GI Bill is going to those institutions. I'm joined by Aaron Glantz, who's a reporter with the Center for Investigative Reporting, and David Halperin, who writes for republicreport.org. And you can join our conversation by going to the website yourcallradio.org and posting comments there. You can also email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org. I'll get to some of those questions in just a minute. But before the break, David, we were talking about the fact that, you know, we've known that so much money was going to institutions that are either unaccredited or that are making false promises to vets, but Congress has not acted, although many states are beginning to take action. But you say that there's a revolving door between media, Congress, and the White House with regard to this industry. Can you talk about that?
Well, this industry has done a good job of co-opting just about anybody who could make a difference in this debate. So they give an enormous amount of campaign contributions to members of Congress. The biggest donor to Virginia Fox, who's the chair of the House Subcommittee on Higher Education, Corinthian Colleges. The chair of the overall Education and Labor Committee, John Klein, gets a large amount of his donations from for-profit colleges. They go to Democrats and Republicans as well. President Obama's lobbyist in charge of lobbying the Senate, when he left the White House in March, Mr. Pagano, Ed Pagano, became a lobbyist for Corinthian Colleges. And it goes on and on. But there's also an effort not just to co-opt politicians, but the media. The Washington Post company, which is now called Graham Holdings after it sold the Washington Post, owns Kaplan. So they didn't need to be co-opted. They were the media, and they were a for-profit college. And Don Graham, very influential Washingtonian, who was the head of the Washington Post company, has been the most influential lobbyist in trying to fight rules to hold for-profit colleges accountable. The Chronicle of Higher Education, the preeminent chronicler of the higher education sector, had an event that was about how to avoid loan defaults, and it was sponsored by Career Education Corporation, one of the worst for-profit colleges, and they admitted to me, the Chronicle, that they let Career Education Corporation pick all the speakers for this event sponsored by the Chronicle, and the speakers were biased in favor of the for-profit college industry. NBC News Education Nation Annual Conference is sponsored by the University of Phoenix, the biggest for-profit college, and you will see many infomercials presented as news segments on NBC about for-profit colleges, and although they've taken on this industry, they won't take on the University of Phoenix. They run infomercials for the University of Phoenix. And there are other ways, nonprofit organizations. The head of the National Urban League, the preeminent organization that's supposed to encourage African-American economic advancement, Mark Morial, he sits on the board of Corinthian Colleges. We called him out on this, and he's still on the board. We also called out Leon Panetta, former Secretary of Defense. He did quit the board. I don't know why, but potentially it was because concern that there he was sitting on the board of an organization that was systematically abusing veterans and service members.
And we've got Muriel writes in and says, the GI money for higher education became available at precisely the moment that steep cuts in higher education were made. In 2009-2010, CSU faculty were forced to take furlough, tuition went up, enrollments at CSU went down, class offerings were cut, and programs were consolidated. It's so infuriating that this population of students were diverted away from public institutions at precisely the moment they could have benefited and higher ed could have benefited from their GI bills. So my question is, where was the Cal community, colleges, CSU, UC, in terms of attracting veterans? Was it just too hard to compete with the marketing machine of private schools, or were there missed opportunities by public schools? Aaron, that one's for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what the writer is hitting on is a difference in philosophy that these public schools have versus the for-profit schools. So at the moment that these cuts are happening at community colleges, if I'm in the military and I'm a vet and I'm coming out and I call up a guidance counselor at Diablo Valley College or City College of San Francisco and I ask them, like, what's the prognosis? You know, I want to be a teacher. And they'll say, well, you know, we're heavily impacted right now. Hopefully you can transfer to a state school in 2 years, but it might take you three. You know, you're going to have to wait 6 months to start because that's when this, or 3 months to start because that's when the semester begins. And unfortunately, the course that you want won't be available, right? And then you turn around and you, in the meantime, you're getting calls all the time from the University of Phoenix, from ITT Tech, Heald, Everest, these other schools that are for profit saying, you go to our school, we'll give you the moon. And guess what? You don't even have to pay for it because the taxpayers will cover it all. And so the for profits actually sound quite good in that scenario, right? And that's why our story kind of takes a step back from this more immediate moment where the veteran is making their choice and looks at the total amount of dollars that are flowing towards this industry. Because just imagine if we had put, over the last 5 years, $600 million into public schools in California instead of giving it to for-profit schools that fail the state's minimum standards for financial aid, maybe these schools would be able to come through better for our veterans. I mean, we spend $395 a credit, we the taxpayers, to send a veteran to the University of Phoenix to get an associate's degree. Imagine if we put that, you know, we threw that same money at a community college. What would happen then? I mean, the law is set up so that the community college would only get $46 a credit. But, you know, we just had to take a step back and ask ourselves, we're deciding to spend our money this way. Is it a wise decision?
That's Aaron Glantz with the Center for Investigative Reporting. He just did a recent report about how much GI Bill money from the 2008 GI Bill is going to for-profit institutions, many of which are not accredited and many of which have very low standards. Susan, right, we're also joined by David Halperin, who writes for republicreport.org, and he focuses on the for-profit college industry, which is a $40 billion industry, 80% of which comes from federal aid, grants, etc. Susan writes in and says, the federal government, somebody should pay the taxpayers back, and people who go to the military often have low levels of education. The person who started the University of Phoenix knew it, and he should give the money back. What kind of oversight is there, Aaron? In your piece, you do talk with some of the people who are in charge of looking at how the government money is spent through the GI Bill. What did you find out?
Well, we found out there's almost no oversight at all. We went to the University of Phoenix San Diego campus with representatives of the California Department of Veterans Affairs who inspect these schools to see if they meet minimum standards. We found out they don't sit on classes. We found out that they don't investigate problems that the school is having with its accrediting body. So, for example, the University of Phoenix has been put on notice by its accrediting agency, the Higher Learning Commission, for failing to support student learning and effective teaching and for failing to have quality instructors a lot of the time. And they don't look at that either. Basically, what they're doing is anti-fraud work in the most conventional sense, making sure the taxpayers aren't being overbilled, making sure that the veterans are actually going to school, making sure that we're paying for real veterans and not fake veterans to go to school. But in terms
of... What do you mean?
Well, you know, like let's say that I claimed that I was an Army veteran who served in Iraq, and I wasn't. Right. And the University of Phoenix was billing the government for me to go to school. I would be defrauding the government, and they don't want that to happen. So they're engaged in this very basic anti-fraud activity, but they're not looking at the wider fraud. You know, the wider fraud is our tax dollars going to junk education, and that's not something that they're looking at.
And David, can you talk about oversight of the entire industry?
Well, oversight of the entire industry. Let me give it a story that I want to talk about today in Military Times of something that's happening on the ground in California. Military Times went to, I don't know if you discussed this earlier, there were four military bases in California this week where there were tables, recruiting tables for active duty and separating troops. And there were recruiters from WyoTech and Hills Colleges. Those are the Corinthian schools. And they asked an education official at the naval base at Coronado, one of the places that organized one of these events. He said he was unaware that Corinthian was facing any challenges.
This is a company that's about to go out of business.
Yeah, and yes, it was investigated by the Department of Education.
Down because it's been exposed and investigated for systematic fraud. So at the national level, the Department of Education has not really been seen as particularly active in investigating fraud and abuse by these schools. In the last year, it has stepped up, and that is why Corinthian and others and Phoenix or others are being investigated and are in more trouble. Other agencies, the Federal Trade Commission, and I will tell you that I'm an advocate as well as a writer, and we've been to some of these agencies and we said, here's all the evidence, what do you think you should do? The Federal Trade Commission is now moving on this issue. They investigate fraudulent marketing and practices. That's exactly what this industry and many of the companies in this industry have been built on. There is activity now by the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the agency established by Elizabeth Warren. There's investigative activity by the Securities Exchange Commission, which looks at what companies say to their own investors about their operations. And the Justice Department is also looking at this. And there are 33 state attorneys general who are part of a group that are looking at this, and at least 21 of those are now actively investigating one or more for-profit colleges in their state for fraud and other misconduct. So there's all that going on. But the biggest fight in Washington has been about the gainful employment rule, a rule that the Obama administration put forward that said, basically, if your students are so poor that they can't pay down their loans, you're doing something wrong, and if you keep doing that, maybe you shouldn't be getting more aid. And that rule is the one that the for-profit colleges have hired every lobbyist in Washington, as Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois put it, to fight against. And they've had a great deal of success. And when they didn't get the rule completely watered down, they got it struck down by a federal judge. The administration is trying again. And the industry's already made plans, I obtained a document that show they're already ready to get it struck down again by a federal judge. But meanwhile, right now, they're in the act of trying to get it watered down again by hiring every advocate and surrogate that they can to do that. Hopefully, there's enough public awareness now through things like Aaron's work and other reporters and federal and state investigations that the White House won't be fooled, and increasingly students won't be fooled, because they're getting the word now about these bad practices and that they might be better off at an institution besides a for-profit college. But let me add one more point, which is Aaron's right on. The public college system is failing students. They're basically in the business of driving students away and telling them they don't have enough resources because the states aren't providing enough resources. The whole system is failing our veterans and students. There aren't good apprenticeships. There aren't good high school career training programs. And there isn't enough career training program in our public colleges and in our nonprofit colleges. So you're being completely ignored by everybody else, and you're being barraged with interest by the for-profit colleges, which that's the reason that so many students go, and that's the reason so many lives are being ruined.
That's David Halperin. He writes for republicreport.org. Aaron Glantz is also with us. He's a reporter with the Center for Investigative Reporting. I know you wanted to speak to what David was just saying, but our phones are finally working, so I want to invite our listeners to join our conversation, ask any questions of Aaron and David, and propose solutions. 866-798-TALK is our toll-free number, 866-798-8255 is the number to join our conversation. If you're a veteran and you've used GI Bill money, tell us about your experience. If you've ever gone to one of these for-profit institutions like the University of Phoenix, give us a call and let us know. And if you're somebody who does hiring, who vets employment, how do you perceive a degree from WyoTech or the University of Phoenix? 866-798-TALK is our toll-free number. That's 866-798-8255. Okay, Aaron, I know you wanted to speak.
David was talking about the way in which Washington works, and he knows a lot more about that than me. And one thing that I recently learned about the very basics of, that I'm sure, you know, David knows soup to nuts, is on the gainful employment rule that he's been talking about, which says, you know, you have to prove that you can get a job with a trade school degree, basically, that this is currently in something which I had never heard of called negotiated rulemaking, where basically the for-profit college industry is at the table with the administration and they can only move forward if they agree with each other. I don't know, David, do I have that right?
You don't. You don't quite have it right. People asked to be participants in the negotiated rulemaking that's convened by the Department of Education, and then the administration, based on the submission, selects people. And in these cases, the industry complained they didn't have enough representatives around the table. There are also representatives of the advocacy groups that with which I work, as well as people from the accrediting bodies, from private colleges, from state colleges. They all sit around a table, and they do try to reach consensus on rules, but if they do not reach consensus, then the department is free, which is what always happens, to write its own rule, and that's what happened. But then, of course, the industries are free to attack it, get Congress to threaten to overturn it, and threaten, which they've done successfully, to get it overturned in court.
And pay lobbyists and Congress members a lot to... not to vote for it.
And have it, my observation about this, and have it drag on forever so that the rules, I don't know how long they've been talking about this, but I believe President Obama's executive order that kind of got all this going was a couple of years ago at this point, and there are no, actual rules that have gone into effect yet.
Well, there is a rule on incentive compensation, which says that you basically can't run a boiler room that pays your salespeople a commission, because then they're pushing too hard to recruit people who really shouldn't be in the school. But that rule has consistently been violated. There's a lawsuit the government has joined that says the EDMC, the second biggest for-profit college after Phoenix, which is 41% owned by Goldman Sachs, has violated that rule, and other schools have been accused of it. There are other rules, but they haven't been well enforced, and they don't add up to enough to have stopped this juggernaut, this race to the bottom, where for-profit colleges have come to believe that the more you abuse students, the more money you make, and that's precisely what they've been doing.
And let me get a couple of questions from our audience. Josh writes, any thoughts on deferring tuition costs to the employers instead of the students who don't have the money and would happily pay a small percentage of their paycheck and a tax to pay for the education? I'm not sure that I understand this, Josh.
Well, should the employers be helping out in the cost of education? I think that's a very good thing, and sometimes you do have that. But the question is, where is the money going to be going? And if employers are paying money to a program that's just not really educating the student, or to basically a corrupt enterprise, then it's not really helping anybody.
Except if the employer was paying a bit, there would be more oversight by that employer about whether or not the prospective employee was being trained properly, right?
Potentially, that could add another level of accountability. And that's one reason that there is a rule in place, another rule which says that that for-profit colleges can't take more than 90% of their revenue from the federal government, because they figure if nobody's willing to put in any money, then maybe it's not such a great program. But the law is so skewed by lobbyists that the 90% only counts money from the Department of Education. The veterans' money and the active duty Pentagon money does not count. That counts as private money. So the perverse result of that is that these schools are even more desperate to recruit veterans and service members because they need that 10% supposedly non-federal money, and a huge source of it is the GI Bill and service member education money.
And that's called non-federal money, which is absurd.
And then this is this. They've tried over the last few years multiple times to reform this. And I wrote recently, and you can find it on our website at cironline.org, that the most recent attempt by Representative Susan Davis of San Diego and Mark Decano of Riverside in Washington, their effort to reform this problem was killed within 15 minutes in Washington earlier this month by the chair of the Higher Education Committee, Representative John Klein of Minnesota, and his largest campaign contributor is the University of Phoenix's parent company.
Right.
And a caller writes in and asks, should we call these entities colleges or companies? I'd like to know what both of you think on that one.
Well, the University of Phoenix is a college that's run by a company. Right. So and that's the way it works. So the Apollo Education Group is a publicly traded company. You could buy stock in it if you wanted, if you like what you hear. And and it's in business to make money. And it runs a business. And the business that it runs is the University of Phoenix, which is a college. And Corinthian, which we've also been talking about, is another publicly traded company that's in business to make money. And it owns a number of businesses, Everest, Wyotech, Healed, which are all colleges. So these are companies that are in business to make money, and their business is colleges.
Well, another...
Go ahead. That's fine.
Go ahead, David.
I'll go with that answer.
You'll go with it. You'll just second Aaron's emotion.
Yes.
So we got another question, which is, what kind of consumer training do members of the military get regarding the use of their military benefits? That's a great question. How much are they, you know, is this a conversation among vets that are about to get out of the service?
Well, I mean, the real thing is, I mean, and David was talking about it earlier, these companies are allowed access to the base to sell to veterans. These veterans are coming out of the military, right? They're in this moment where they've had a job for 4 years or 8 years or 12 years or 20 years working for the Army. And now they're about to be unemployed. And they have this education benefit. Maybe they joined to get the education benefit. So in this moment of uncertainty, they need a new job or they need to go to school. These companies are on the base actively recruiting, saying the answer to your uncertainty is to come to the University of Phoenix or Healed or so forth. So, you know, the issue that the Military Times article raised earlier this week was, shouldn't the military be providing some amount of consumer protection by not, you know, the state of California, for all of its lax oversight, has actually banned Corinthian from enrolling any new veterans ever since the company, it became clear it was going to go out of business. You know, they said, this school's going to go out of business. You're never going to be able to finish your degree. You can't enroll any new veterans. People who are already going there can finish up. That's not true, by the way, in any other state. California is the only state that has done this. And yet, despite that, we have bases in California where their recruiters are on the base telling people to sign up. So
even for institutions like Corinthian that is being shut down by the Department of Education.
Yeah, and so the issue is, the caller raises, is what is the military doing? The military is doing the exact opposite of the right thing.
So let's talk about solutions to this. First off, Aaron, what's been the fallout from your investigative report on this?
A lot of talk. You know, it's nice to see it in Washington being discussed. You know, we did talk about the effort that Representative Susan Davis and Mark Takano put forward to fix this loophole in the law. And then we also talked about the fact that it was dead within 15 minutes because the chair of the committee that oversees education didn't even want to allow a vote on it, and that his largest campaign contributor is the University of Phoenix's parent company. So it's interesting to me. I think all of us who have been involved in politics are familiar with the idea of a juice committee, right? That the chairman of a committee will want a committee where he can raise lots of money from donors. So you might want to be the chair of the banking committee because you could get a lot of money from the banks that you're supposed to regulate to not regulate them. I mean, this is an old Washington thing. To see that going on in an education committee is something that, I mean, it's probably old news to David, but it's pretty shocking to me as somebody who's coming new to this issue.
It just keeps getting worse. I mean, Mitt Romney, when asked what he would do about higher education, praised for-profit colleges and particularly Full Sail University, which turned out to be one of his biggest donors. And also, it turned out his company was invested in Full Sail University. But then Jeb Bush recently spoke at the Trade Association APSCU's convention, and he attacked the rule to hold for-profit colleges accountable. There's like a for-profit college bowl where, and now maybe that's what Newt Gingrich is doing, where Republicans outdo themselves, falling over themselves to say how much they love this industry because this industry gives them money. And why does this industry give them money? Because it's almost entirely dependent on federal money. This is textbook corruption of our system. And but the worst part of it is that the victims are these people, veterans, single parents, people struggling to get ahead, are lied to and used as pawns in this game to deliver money to big publicly traded companies and private equity firms that own these for-profit colleges. And there couldn't be a darker and more cynical portrait of how our politics play out than this. we have a real chance right now if everybody just calls in and tells the Obama administration to hang tough and have a tough gainful employment rule, and tells their and tells their prosecutors to keep on investigating fraud in this industry. We have a chance to turn it around. But we may not, and it's possible that this industry is going to live to go back to its corrupt ways and keep on abusing people. And that won't just be bad for individuals, it'll be bad for a whole economy. Because if you have a light, if you have crippling student debt, you can't get married, you can't buy a house, you can't buy a car, and you're moving our economy in a continued downward spiral where the middle class can't get ahead and rich people just keep getting richer. And this is the quintessence of that kind of bad behavior.
And
so anyone out there who's a concerned citizen ought to be standing up and speaking out against it.
And that's the U.S. Department of Education has proposed this gainful employment regulation. You can read about it at yourcallradio.org. Aaron, we just have about 30 seconds. What do you want people to know or do?
Well, I mean, I would just take note one more time that when California faced a budget crisis, the legislature and Governor Jerry Brown said we need to put standards on where our financial aid money goes. And we found that $600 million in federal GI Bill money has gone to schools that fail those standards. So, you know, I think that it's a reasonable question. Why is there no federal standard that mirrors our standard on state aid?
That's Aaron Glantz. He's an award-winning investigative reporter who covers veterans and domestic military issues for the Center for Investigative Reporting. His latest book is The War Comes Home. We're also joined by David Halperin, who writes for RepublicReport.org, which is a project of the nonprofit group Essential Information. We'll put links to all of that information at yourcallradio.org. You can also comment there and leave other resources for our audience. I'm Holly Kernan in for Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. What should the U.S. response be to children massing along the border? On the next Year Call, we'll have a conversation about the surge in unaccompanied minors trying to enter the U.S. Since last October, 52,000 children have been taken into custody. What are the conditions inside of U.S. immigration detainee centers? And what's the best way to resolve this humanitarian crisis? Join the conversation on the next Year Call with me, Holly Kernan, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan and Ali Budner produce the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer. Joe Burke is our studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco, with special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz.